Welcome to Chip Chat Network Insights, conversations exploring network transformation through interviews with industry experts.
Welcome to Chip Chat Network Insights. My name is Allison Klein, and I'm joined by Doug Ranalli, founder and chief strategy officer at NetNumber. Welcome, Doug. How's it going?
It's going great, Allison. Thanks for setting this up today.
Doug, why don't we just get started with an introduction of NetNumber and your guys' role in terms of delivery of technology.
So NetNumber is a software vendor to large telecommunications companies. So we sell software to mobile operators, fixed line carriers, cable MSOs, network intermediaries, over-the-top providers. We specialize in what's called signaling control. So if you look at the world's communications networks, it's actually broken up into two distinct networks. There's the media layer. So envision one of my teenage daughters streaming Netflix. That's a big issue for the media layer. Moving that media, that Netflix video, or your voice, or your message. And that's a big part of what communications companies do. But there's a whole separate network that controls what happens on the media layer, and that's called signaling control. That separate network manages things like connecting to the network. So you turn on your smartphone, you have to get connected to the network. Network has to determine if it knows who you are, if it trusts you, and then register you for your services that you signed up for. That's all signaling control. It has nothing to do with media or streaming Netflix, right? If you try and place a telephone call, the signaling control network's got to reach out around the world and find the person you're calling. It's about setting up sessions, looking up data, making sure that the services that you signed up for, that those are implemented, and then keeping track of your activity so you can get billed properly. So NetNumber is a vendor, delivers all of the signaling control technology that service providers need, represents about 19 different standardized functions in the network. And what's special about NetNumber is we build a single signaling control platform called Titan. And those 19 functions are all delivered as just applications that you activate on Titan. By comparison, our competitors sell 19 different platforms. So we've made life easier for people.
Now, the signaling and control network, I would assume, is going under the same transformation to a software-defined network and network function virtualization as the media network that you talked about. Can you talk a little bit about how that changes the way that Titan is delivered?
We're really optimistic about network function virtualization. Really like to see all of our customers move to that model. When our customers deploy Titan in the network today, they have to put out physical servers, commercial off-the-shelf servers. The biggest delay in deploying Titan is actually shipping servers, getting them in a rack, getting them power, getting them IP connectivity. It would be so much easier if our customers would deploy an NFV infrastructure, and then we could just layer Titan right on top of that NFV infrastructure. We do that in production today with several customers, but we deal with hundreds of service providers around the world, and a handful are actually utilizing NFV in production. Lots of activity, but it's still early days, so we'd really like to see it accelerate.
The Internet of Things offers increased complexity with billions of devices that are being deployed across the network edge. Can you tell me about how that changes the game for signaling control?
Yeah, IoT is fascinating in that it looks very different than what a subscriber looks like today. A subscriber today is a person. That person typically pays $40 to $50 a month for one of many communication services, but say for their mobile plan, and they use a lot of media. IoT devices, by comparison, are totally different. There's an enormous number of them. Could be as many as 100 devices per person. That's the kind of industry benchmark of how we think this might evolve. And those devices use almost nothing in the media layer. What they do is connect to the network regularly just to tell the network that they're still there. You know, think about your water meter in your basement. It's going to need to connect into the network periodically to say, I'm still here and here's the current reading. So IoT devices put a huge amount of pressure on signaling control and almost no burden on the media layer. So that means we need to make changes in the way the radio access network works. So you don't want to allocate a bunch of capability for streaming Netflix to a little device that's never going to do that. So we need to change the radio access network and figure out how to scale signaling control much differently than we scale it today, because we got to have a much different price point.
How does your company decide to innovate to address this new type of challenge? And where has that taken Titan in terms of capability?
So we looked at that IoT space. A couple things came to mind. First was the subscriber profile, the storing information about what that device signed up for. Today, if you look at those subscriber profile databases, they are held back in the core of the network in very secure facilities. It's the special knowledge of the network, and it's held in just a few network locations. So if you want access to that subscriber profile, you've got to traverse all the way across the network into the core to get that data. If you're talking about IoT devices, many of which are at the edge of the network and have time-sensitive requirements, think about a connected car. It wants access to information in the network really quickly, doesn't want that delay of waiting to get all the way back to the core. So we made a big investment in allowing Titan to distribute all that user data all the way out to the edge of the network so that IoT devices could do their signaling right out at the edge of the network where there's very low latency and the carrier doesn't have to absorb the cost of backhauling that signaling traffic back to the core. So we think from a technology perspective, distributing data widely to the edge becomes a key competitive advantage.
Now, you guys are members of the Intel Network Builders Program. What has the benefit been of being an Intel Network Builders member, and where are you engaged in that program?
The way we use that program is to advance our internal understanding of NFV and use it as a mechanism to test out all of our ideas. So NFV is an evolving area of activity. At a very basic level, the industry understands it. I either deploy physical servers or I share virtual servers. But at the next level of detail, figuring out how do you manage software in a virtual world? How do you upgrade that software? How do you scale that software? It's a moving target of technology and a moving target of standards. And we find that the work that we're able to do with Intel helps us to align with the standards bodies, helps us to align with industry best practices as we all move through this NFV lifecycle together.
Final question for you. I'm sure that we've spurred some interest in Net Number during our conversation. Where would you point folks to find out more about Titan and Net Number and engage with you in trials of the software?
Great. So you can just start at netnumber.com on the web. From there, you can obviously gain access to our sales team. Our sales team's distributed all over the world. We find it's necessary to speak in local language with all of our customers. And we put technical pre-sales engineers all over the world as well, because there's a necessary deep technical engagement that has to happen with customers. And we find that really needs to be local. So please go to netnumber.com and contact our sales team.
Fantastic. Well, thank you so much for being on the program today. It was a real pleasure.
Thanks a lot, Allison.